You know, it seems like before we met the Lord Jesus Christ and became saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, when we lay down our lives to Christ, amen, it seems like that life was easy. And I'll tell you, it was. And for me in my life, in my heathen days, life was easy. And life did have no challenge to it, and life seemed to be predictable. You know, like I knew that was going to happen. You know, whatnot. But anyways, but when I met the Lord Jesus Christ, when He saved me out of the pit, glory to God, to be His child, that's when life became challenging, and it was literally overnight. Glory to God. Because the reality of the matter is that we will go through spiritual battles, and it starts when you're born again. That's a fact. Nobody wants to hear it. But we must. We must know who we are in Jesus Christ. Like this morning I mentioned, the body of Christ lacks knowledge about themselves of who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And what we have in Jesus Christ. We have spiritual weapons to fight against Satan, to put him on the run. But there's going to be a time, just like I mentioned this last week, there'll be a time where he won't allow that, and therefore he'll come at the child of God or the church, and we have to have the armor of God on to resist. Amen? Amen? That fiery darts of the evil one, the will of the devil, right? Because he'll come against the child of God. There's a reason for it. So we're going to get into that. The realities of why. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Because spiritual battles is a reality. And why? The Bible tells us that Satan drew first blood. When he rebelled in heaven against God and tried to take over the throne of God with the third of the holy angels that followed Satan in the rebellion, therefore, Satan drew first blood. God did not start a battle. The devil did. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, show me some scriptures about this. Because we hear it all the time, this whole battle between Satan and God, and how God had thrown Satan to the earth and threw the third of the holy angels out of heaven with Satan and is now on earth, right? You always hear it. But I hardly ever hear anyone give scripture. The Lord showed me where it's found. Revelation chapter 12. So we always think of the book of Revelation as dealing with the end times. And it does. From the book of Revelation chapter 1 to chapter 22, that it deals with the past, the present, and the future. It's a history lesson of the past to tell us what's going on right now and what will come in the future. Amen? That's why it's called the book of Revelation. What does the word revelation mean? Amen. It means knowledge that was once hidden is now revealed and or manifest. Because what the Word of God tells us in the book of Revelation will come to pass.
Yeah.
Amen. Some of it already has.
Yeah.
The judgments, like for example, the judgments of God in on the church is Revelation chapter 2 and 3. The church age.
Yeah.
The dead church. The compromising church. Amen? Glory to God. This is a couple examples. And we're living in that time and day and hour right now where God is judging churches and challenging churches to get right with God. Amen?
Hallelujah.
But the Bible, but the book of Revelation also tells us what's to come. Amen? The Antichrist, the false prophet, Satan himself, the unholy Trinity, right? That will come and deceive nations. But Jesus will bring an end to it. Yeah. Glory to God. See, what Satan starts, God will finish.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. And so, in the book of Revelation chapter 12, it tells us the history of the past to describe to us why we're going through spiritual battles now.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get into too much into symbolism. I'm not getting into some of it. All because it has nothing to do with this message, for one. And we can get so tied up in symbolism because this chapter deals much about it. It deals with Satan, God, and the church in this one chapter. Okay? Hallelujah. So you keep that in mind also as we read because it explains why we must go through trials and tribulations, why we will always battle spiritual warfare against Satan and the church. I don't want to get too ahead here, but I will say this, that the reason why Satan attacks the church greatly, because it's not just because we're children of God. He was cast out of heaven. Amen? Therefore, God is no longer accessible, but the church is. The church is. And he rather battle against the church to draw as many people to hell as possible. And I, for just a brief moment, I got into the mindset of the enemy this way, to try to understand his tactics. Because I always believe that you know your enemy. Always be one step ahead of your enemy. Amen. Glory to God. So we will always come out ahead, right? And not be defeated. We will overcome because we'll understand. But I got into the mindset for just a brief moment of why Satan tries to drag people to hell. Because I'll tell you why. Because that's what would be his greatest trophy. Causing Christians to compromise and go to hell.
What?
Say, look what I've done. I'm not going alone. That's why he schemes to try to drag as many people to hell, because he knows his time is short. He knows he's going to lose. He already did.
Yes.
He already did before Jesus Christ, because God threw Satan out of heaven.
Yes.
So he knows he already lost. Anyways, Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." What's interesting about 12 stars, a crown of 12 stars represents Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, so we're dealing with a woman with a crown of 12 stars. Israel. Mary, hallelujah, who gave birth to Jesus Christ, conceived by the Holy Spirit, right, is this woman here. I'll get to that in a minute. Hallelujah. Because this is not going to happen. This already happened.
Yes.
It describes a battle between Satan and the church. Okay? But he's given you the background, because that's how the Jewish custom is. They tell you the basics. It's like in Genesis chapter 1, they just give you the basics of what happened. But in Genesis chapter 2, it gives us more clear detail of how God had created man. See, that's how Jewish custom is. They just give you the basics, but then they go back and tell you the details. Amen? This is what happens in this very chapter. Okay? "And she, being with child, cried travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered." The child is Jesus Christ. Amen? "And there appeared another wonder in heaven." In heaven. That's where Satan was born. His name was Lucifer before he became Satan. Jesus Christ, the Word of God says that Jesus Christ created with the Father. Amen? So nothing that was made without him that was made. Amen? John chapter 1 tells him that, tells us that. But also, everything that we see is created by the Lord. Amen? So we can also say that Jesus and God the Father obviously created Lucifer. Lucifer in Hebrew means angel of light. Okay? And so I'm not going to get into a full history of what he was to do in heaven, but he had pride in his heart, and he believed that he could rebel against God and win, which he didn't. And when that happened, when God cast Satan to the earth, Lucifer to the earth, I should say, therefore that's when God changed his name to Satan. Satan in Hebrew means enemy, adversary. So God actually spelt it out to all humanity who this devil is. Amen? "And there appeared another wonder in heaven." So that's where it all started. "And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads." That's dealing with nations and regions and kings. I'm not going to get into all that, because it has to do with the Antichrist society or Antichrist nation that will rise up into power for 7 years. I'm not going to get into all that. But we'll continue on. It says, "And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven." What's interesting about that is that you would think that, oh, well, that's fulfilling what Revelation chapter 6 had mentioned about the sixth seal. Cosmic disturbances where the stars will fall from heaven. No, it's not dealing with that. It's dealing with a third of the stars. That stars, scientifically speaking, are balls of fire and gas. Okay? But the Bible, in the book of Job, tells us that stars praises God.
Yeah.
How can a ball of fire and gas praise the Lord? Can't. The book of Psalms tells us that his angels are camped around us day and night. Well, so are stars. Here, talking about a revelation, hallelujah, about stars. A third of the stars fell with Satan. Talking about holy angels who followed Satan who became unholy. Amen? So that's what he's talking about here. He's not talking about stars literally. He's talking about angels. Yes. That's right. Amen. And did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now we know that that came to pass. King Herod, right? He was demon-possessed. Hallelujah. When the wise men came to give gifts to the God-man, Jesus Christ, he asked Herod, where is the Messiah to be born? Right? And so therefore, Herod consulted the Pharisees, and the Pharisees told him, and it brought fear to Herod. So he ordered all the children from birth to 2 years old to be killed, because he's trying to destroy the Messiah. Amen? So that has happened. That has come to pass. And he brought forth a man-child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Oh, hallelujah. He's talking about Jesus being king above all kings and Lord above all lords. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the ruler of this earth. Glory to God. He is a lion of Judah who will rule this world with an iron scepter. Glory to God. That's what he's talking about here. And being caught up to the throne of God, dealt with his death, resurrection, and his ascension back to the throne on the right hand of God where he was at first. Because Jesus on his throne came down as a man, conceived by the Holy Spirit, so it makes him the God in the flesh, hallelujah, to save his people from their sins by his blood, glory to God, to reconcile us back to the Father, glory to God, to have a relationship with him. Then he died on the cross for all that, risen from the dead on the third day, ascended back into heaven, and sits at God's hand. That's already happened. It will not happen again. What's going to happen is what already happened. Amen? So it's a history. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, I'm not going to get into any of that, but I will tell you this. This is what's really fascinating me. I did a calculation of this. I want to know exactly how many years that was. So I calculated that number divided by 3.5, that's 3.5 years. It comes out to be 360 days. That goes exactly to the Jewish calendar, which is right. The Jewish calendar only has 360 days. The Gregorian calendar that we go by has 365. So if you go by the Jewish calendar, whatever the Bible says, it will come to pass as the time frames. If we go by the Gregorian calendar, we'll be more than 5 days off. You know, as years progress. So anyways, if we stick with the Jewish calendar, then therefore 360 days is what this calculates, 3.5 years. Just giving that to you. I thought that was fascinating. Amen? And someone might need that someday. I might need that someday. I don't know. That's why the Lord showed me that. But I found that really cool, so I have to share that. And there was war. Was. War. Was is past tense. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was there a place anymore in heaven for the dragon, and for the third of the angels that followed after the dragon. And the great dragon was cast out, that serpent, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. His angels were cast out with him. That has already happened. That will not happen again. So it's not dealing with a future event. Some people read this like, well, this is Revelation chapter 12. And between Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 19 deals with the great tribulation period. This chapter don't. It tells us a history of what happened and explains to us what's happening right now. Spiritual battles. Amen. Glory to God. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And don't you know he accuses us day and night without ceasing? Mm-hmm. If he can find a weakness, if he can find a way, he will.
Yeah.
He's a snake. Mm-hmm. What does a snake do? Slither along the wall till he finds a crack. And once he finds a crack, he slithers right in. I'm telling you, just like a mouse or a rat, if the head can fit in, the whole body will fit. That's how Satan operates. Knowing your enemy, how he operates, he never ceases. And it may seem like he will in your life. But you know what he's doing? He's watching you. He's studying us to know our weaknesses. Amen. That's why we should read the Bible often, as much as you can on a daily basis, to know our enemy and know God. Amen. Glory to God. And it tells us, and they, the church, overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in the earth. Then God says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Amen. He's warning us. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He had a short time way back when. It's shorter now, just like you mentioned this morning. Yeah. It is. We're living in the shortest time of before the rapture, before the great tribulation begins. Yeah. Amen? And that's why we're seeing the enemy moving so powerfully, like never before. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth a man-child. The woman represents the church, because I'll tell you why. Jesus says, I'm coming back for a bride. Without spot, wrinkle, or any such blemish. Yeah. That's the church. Yeah. The woman is the church.
Yeah.
Glory to God. He's not naming Mary as the church, but he's talking about the church, the bride of Christ here. And the woman were given two wings of the great eagle, where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a times. Talking about 3.5 years. Time and times, meaning plural, two, and half a time. That's 1, 2, 3, 3.5. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't understand that? I'm not going to get into it. But the serpent casts out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. What's interesting about that, that is a symbol of deception. Because what comes out of his mouth is living water out of the serpent's mouth, out of the dragon's mouth. That's deception. And that's what we're in right now. Satan is trying to bring in heresies into the church, trying to bring in false doctrines into the church. You know, like Oprah. Oprah was born into a Southern Baptist church. And she knows the truth, but she believes since Jesus Christ died for all are going to heaven. That's universal doctrine. That's the doctrine of universalism is what they call that. Where since Jesus died for all are going to heaven regardless. That's not true. He only died to those who believe. Lord, you must believe, just like in John chapter 3. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Acknowledge in your heart, confess out of your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That he came into this world by the virgin birth in the flesh, conceived by the Holy Spirit, died for our sins, risen from the dead on the third day, ascended back into heaven, and sits at God's right hand. Glory to God. Then you must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You must be born again, hallelujah, by the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. And then, hallelujah, you must have an active relationship with God on a a daily basis, glory to God. And then you must live right. That's what the book of John tells us.
Amen.
How we get there to heaven. Because Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, hallelujah, is the narrow way that leads to eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
But see, the enemy is trying to deceive the elect, if that were possible. In the book of Matthew, Jesus had said that. These days will be shortened. If they were not shortened, no one would be saved. Not even the church. Wow. Because it is possible for even the elect to be deceived. And that's what the enemy is trying to do against the woman, the church. Amen? Hallelujah. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is what we're battling in right now.
Yeah.
Glory to God. That's why we must read the Word of God daily, because of the truth. We must live in the truth. We must know the truth. Jesus says, know the truth and the truth will set you free. Know the Word of God. Hallelujah. Know the truth. Know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And He and the Word of God will set you free. We always got to stay in step. Amen? Hallelujah. And here's the reason why. What He's trying to do. Why He's bringing in all these heresies. You know, easy believism and all that. That's really coming into the church. Here's the reason why. Satan is trying to shipwreck the faith. Our faith. If he could do that, we can't be saved. It takes faith to be saved. That's why Satan attacks faith. He doesn't attack a building. He attacks the people in the building. Amen. That makes up the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why we got to stay on our guard. Oh, glory to God. Stay on our guard. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Stay in prayer. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in a relationship with God always. Hallelujah. But that's the reason why. And here's the other reason why. Our battles against Satan is prevailing truth over lie and deception. That's the real battle. Truth over lie and deception. We're supposed to prevail truth. We're supposed to bring forth truth that will prevail. And we know that it does. Because light is more powerful than darkness. Amen. Glory to God. But that's our battles. Deception. Hallelujah. It's like the Lord had showed me in prayer last night. And I didn't see this before, but He revealed this to me. And I mentioned it this morning, that people, that when we come across with the gospel message of salvation, we're telling people the truth. We're showing who they are in the mirror of God's Word. You ask them, do you believe you'll make heaven? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm just curious, how are you going to make heaven? It says, well, I never murdered. I think I'm a good enough person. That's what a lot of people will say. I'm good enough. But the Bible says otherwise. It says no man is good. No man is righteous. Not one person. And so we're supposed to show people the truth through God's Word. Not by our own opinions. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, that's our battle. Here's this third part of our battle in Jesus Christ. Keeping our faith in Christ strong, pure, and active. That's our battle.
Yeah.
Keeping our faith strong, pure, and active. The Bible says in the book of James that faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
And that challenges me. I've been out, I've ministered the gospel to people. But have I done enough? I don't think I have. I want to up the ante here, glory to God, and tell more people. Amen. That's the challenge. Hallelujah. And try to bring someone to Jesus Christ. You know, they'll ask him, and they love what you got to hear. But then when you ask him to make a commitment right then and there, they're like, you know? We got to keep on, keep it on. Hallelujah. Because in Genesis chapter 3, it tells us the first Bible prophecy of battles. That's why it's a reality, because it's against Satan and God, first and foremost. And since Satan can't get to God, he's got to attack something that's accessible, and that is the church. And so our first Bible prophecy about Jesus Christ and His church is found in Genesis chapter 3. So starting verse 14. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "The Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, deceived Eve, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity or war between thee and the woman," the church, "and between thy seed and her seed." Glory to God. "And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Who do you think is going to come out on top? Jesus Christ. Because Jesus only suffers a bruised heel for crushing the serpent's head. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if we're in Christ, we're victorious with him. Amen. We're overcomers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we got to know that. Hallelujah. We got to know that. Glory to God.